वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 75 एंटाइटल दुर्योधन ह्यूमिलिएटेड। टेक्स्ट नंबर 16। गुप्ता नृभेवेर निगमम उपलब्धुमेतत् देव्यो यथा दिवि विमान वरेर्न दिव्यो तमातुलेय सखिभि परिशिम्यमानः सव्रीडहासा विकषद्वदना विरेजुः। गुप्ता नृभिर्निरगमन् उपलब्धुमेत देव्यो यथा दिवि विमान वरेण देव्यो तामातुलेय सखिभि परिशीयमाना सवीर्हास विकसद वदना विरेजुः। गुप्ता नृभिर्निरगमन् उपलब्धुमेतत् देव्यो यथा दिवि विमान वरेण देव्यो तामातुलेय सखिभि परिशिम्यमाना सवीरकिहास विकसद वदना विरेजुः। गुप्ता नृभिर्निरगमन् उपलब्धुमेतत् देव्यो यथा दिवि विमान वरेण देव्यो तामातुलेय सखिभि परिशिष्यमानः सव्रीडहास विकसद्वदना विरेजुः। गुप्ता नृभिर्निरगमन्नुपलब्धुमेत देव्यो यथा दिवि विमान वरेण देव्यो तामातुलेय सखिभि परिशिष्यमानः सव्रीडहास विकसद्वदना विरेजुः। माताजी गुप्ता नृभिर्निरगमन् विपलब्धुमेतत् देव्यो यथा दिवि विमान वरेण देव्यो तामातुलेय सखिभि परिशिष्यमाना सव्रीडहास विकसन्।
वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। गुप्तः गार्डेड नरभि बाय सोल्जर्स निरगमन दे वेंट आउट उपलब्धुम टू सी फर्स्ट हैंड एतत् दिस देव्यः द वाइव्स ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स यथा एज दिवि इन द स्काई विमान ऑन देयर एयरप्लेन्स वरै एक्सलेंट नरदेव्यः द क्वीन्स ऑफ किंग युधिष्ठिर ताः दे मातुलेय बाय देयर मेटेरियल कजन्स लॉर्ड कृष्ण एंड हिज ब्रदर्स सच एज गदा एंड शारण सखिभिः and by their friends such as Bhima and Arjuna. Parishyamanaha, being sprinkled. Savrida, shy. Hasa, with smiles. Vikasat, blooming. Vadanaha, whose faces. Virejahu, they appeared splendid. Translation and purport by disciples of Srivan Gaya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Surrounded by guards, King Yudhishthir's queens came out on their chariots to see the fun, just as the demigods' wives appeared in the sky in celestial airplanes. As maternal cousins and intimate friends sprinkled the queens with liquids, the ladies' faces bloomed with shy smiles, enhancing the queen's splendid beauty. Purport. The maternal cousins referred to here are Lord Krishna and such brothers of his as Gada and Sharana, and the friends mentioned are such persons as Bhima and Arjuna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lilita Sri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Vishya Kripa Sindhu Bhyocha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namonva Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I am feeling very much awkward to be sitting here among so many exalted devotees, Vidyapit devotees who have already graduated from Bhagavatam and CC, and many other devotees who have been hearing these classes all around the world. So I seek your blessings so that I could speak something for my purification. So the previous chapter we have seen that Shishupal was envious of Lord Krishna, and the result was that at the end of the chapter he was slayed down by Lord Krishna through his Sudarshan Chakra. And now we see in this chapter, chapter 75, that is Duryodhana's humiliation, that Duryodhana is envious of Lord Krishna's devotees, the Pandavas. In the previous chapter, Shishupal was envious of the Supreme Lord himself. And here we see that Duryodhana is envious of his devotees. And we cannot even imagine that what is the extent of harm or envy towards devotees could do to us and to our community. And that is why we see the whole Kuru dynasty were destroyed at the end of the Mahabharata war. So there is a very nice example which appears in Chaitanya Leela about Ramchandra Khan. Because Ramchandra Khan was also envious of Srila Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur was a staunch and great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We know when Haridas Thakur was there chanting his names, so Ramchandra Khan deployed a prostitute so that he could bring his real color out. But in his three attempts, that same prostitute turned out to be a devotee of Haridas Thakur, and she took initiation from him. Again, we see in the later verses in that chapter where the glories of Haridas Thakur is mentioned. Lord Nityananda, when he appeared there, the same thing happened with him. He also wanted to test Lord Nityananda. So when Lord Nityananda was there in the Durga Mandap, the house of Ramchandra Khan, so and all the devotees, they wanted to take shelter for some days there. But it so happened that Ramchandra Khan sent his servant and informed them that there is no place available here, so you can stay in the nearby cow shed. So there is ample space for you and all your devotees. So when Lord Nityananda became angry over this and he left that place. And after that, Ramchandra Khan was so envious that he employed his servants to dig that place and remove that mud out of it so that the contamination of that place can be removed. So the result was that this envy led to destruction of not even Ramchandra Khan, the whole village. Because Ramchandra Khan was supposed to pay some income tax which he had not paid to his government. And that is why the Mohammedan minister, he appeared there and he stayed in that house. And in the same Durga Mandap, he was cooking, he was cutting the cows, he was cooking meat and he was serving it there. So whatever place was purified by Lord Nityananda Prabhu, the whole place was again contaminated by this Mohammedan minister. Not only that, he also arrested Ramchandra Khan, his wife and his children, and tormented them very heavily. So in there are two particular verses which we could discuss. Jati dhana jana khanere shakala laya bahudina paryanta grama ujarahila. The Mohammedan minister took away Ramchandra Khan's position, wealth and followers. For many days the village remained deserted. Mahan tera apaman je deshe grame hai ek janera doshe shav desha ujarai. Wherever an advanced devotee is insulted, for one man's fault, the entire town or place is afflicted. So this is the extent to which destruction takes place when we offend a Vaishnava and we are envious of devotees. So, because we are discussing about Duryodhana's envy here, in Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada mentions, when Duryodhana saw that Maharaj Yudhishthira had become very famous after performance of the Rasya Yajna and was fully satisfied in every respect, he began to burn with fire of envy because his mind was always poisonous. For one thing, he envied the imperial palace which had been constructed by the demon Maya for the Pandavas. So we see here that Duryodhana was envious not only of the Pandavas but also the opulences which they had been earning for so many years. And also in this context, Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur in Shara Darshani mentions that there are two reasons why Duryodhana was humiliated. The first one, which is mentioned in the previous chapter, is where Srila Prabhupada mentions the purport that Duryodhana by nature was very envious because of his sinful life. And he appeared in the dynasty of Kurus as a chronic disease personified in order to destroy the whole family. And the second reason is mentioned in the end of this current chapter, which is like Gaurakirtanpur also mentioned day before yesterday, that Krishna bewildered Duryodhana simply by his glance and he engaged the magic power of Maya Dharam as a secondary cause. So we see that the first cause was like created by Duryodhana himself and second cause was the cause created by Krishna through his illusory potency, in which Duryodhana got bewildered in the imperial palace and that is how he got humiliated. So this envy which Duryodhana has incurred for so many years, it's not something new. It has been from very childhood. So let's try to examine for a few minutes that how this big mountain of envy had developed in his heart. Naturally, when there are rivals, there is some kind of rivalry, whether in sports or in politics, wherever we are. So Duryodhana also was rivals with the Pandavas, and that is why he was always envious of it. But this envy also caused due to the sense of entitlement he had, the sense of connectivity to the empire of Hastinapur he had, and that is why it led to enmity. So normally we know that initially things begin with some kind of ill feelings and then gradually develops into jealousy, and then jealousy transforms into the wrath called envy. So we know the whole story of Mahabharata, where Lord Pandu, King Pandu was the emperor of Hastinapur, and then he goes to the forest, he gets a curse, and then he, with his wives Kunti and Madri, he shifts himself to the forest, giving up the kingdom. And then gradually Dhritarashtra becomes the default king of Hastinapur, and then the Pandavas are gradually born there, and here Duryodhana is also born, and Duryodhana is now getting pampering, and he becomes a spoiled brat, because everyone knows in Hastinapur now that Duryodhana is the crown prince, and so much of pride has incurred, and that led to him spoiling. And then when Pandu left his body and Madri entered the funeral fire, then Kunti Maharani was advised by the rishis in the forest that you should go back to Hastinapur and take shelter there, because you have to grow your children. How it is possible in this forest? They are Kshatriyas and they need all kind of skillful training also, so it cannot be possible in this forest. So the rishis assisted her along with to the Hastinapur palace, so that any kind of doubts about their birth can be resolved. And as soon as Duryodhana cast his eyes on the Pandavas at the very first sight, he had some kind of insecurity in his heart, that how these people have come up now in Hastinapur, and maybe they will look forward for the empire also, share of an empire also. And gradually this Duryodhana's mischievous plans to exploit or kill Pandavas led into malicious acts. Now we try to understand the nature of Duryodhana and Yudhishthira also. Duryodhana was spoiled because of wealth, whereas Yudhishthira, he was quite respectful towards others, he was very strong in his dealings, his behavior was so crystal clear, and that is why Yudhishthira earned the attention and affection of all the Kuru leaders, whereas Duryodhana couldn't, and this ravaged his envy a lot. And then we see how Duryodhana tried many tricks, like he fed poison to Bhima and put him in the river, but whatever tricks were tried by Duryodhana, the Pandavas became more and more powerful out of it. So Bhima, he got the strength of 10,000 elephants through the nectar which was provided by Varuna as a gift in the waters. And then in the Lakshagriha episode, we see when the Pandavas escaped through the tunnel, they reached King Drupad's kingdom, and then there was an alliance, Draupadi was married to them, and so they got some kind of military assistance also. So whatever plots were made by Duryodhana, they turned into benedictions for the Pandavas. And so many trials and tribulations that Queen Kunti, in the first kind of Srimad Bhagavatam, she in her prayers prays, Vishan Mahagne Purushad Darshanad Asat Sabhaya Vanavasa Kritchrita Mride Mride Aneka Maharatho Astrado Dronastratas Chasmare Abhirakshita. She is praying that when my son was fed poison in the Lakshagriha episode, where we were put into fire, or we were tested by cannibals, or in the Asat Sabha, the Vikshis assembly where Draupadi was disrobed, so many sufferings we had gone through in the forest also, and even in this battle of Kurukshetra. So every moment in our life you were always present with us, and now also you have saved Parikshit from the weapon of Ashwatthama. So many kind of trials and tribulations the Pandavas had to go through, and because they always had taken shelter of Krishna, that is why they were saved. So this envy, which is deep rooted in our heart, it's so contaminating that for a sadhaka, a practitioner of devotional service, Srimad Bhagavatam in the very beginning, it negates all these concepts. Dharma prochita kaitavatru parmo nirmatsaranan satam. That means Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for pure souls who are 100% pure in heart. It's not meant for someone who is envious. So one can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, practice Srimad Bhagavatam, and also apply Srimad Bhagavatam in context to others and develop a loving bond with the Supreme Lord only when we can keep our heart pure of Nirmatsara. Because as many a times we have heard that the other five anarthas can be dovetailed in Krishna's service, but envy cannot be. Even in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna mentions, idam tu te gayatam pravaksha manasuyave jnanam vijnanam sahitam yajyatva mokshase subhat. So because you are never envious of me, I am imparting this knowledge to you. So in this purpose, Srila Prabhupada mentions a very beautiful thing. Srila Prabhupada mentions about the envy, how people who have wrote commentaries on Srimad Bhagavad Gita express. The Sanskrit word anusuyave in this verse is also very significant. Generally the commentators, even if they are highly scholarly, are all envious of Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the most erudite scholars write on Bhagavad Gita very inaccurately because they are envious of Krishna. Their commentaries are useless. The commentaries given by the devotees of the Lord are bona fide. No one can explain Bhagavad Gita or give perfect knowledge of Krishna if he is envious. One who criticizes the character of Krishna without knowing him is a fool, and that kind of fool is always doomed. Since we are discussing envy, which is deep rooted in our heart, so we come across another example in Srimad Bhagavatam about Daksha being envious of Lord Shiva. So we know all that Daksha married his daughter Sati to Lord Shiva, and although it was not his personal desire to do that, because Lord Brahma had told him, that is why he did it. And one fine incident, that Daksha is entering the palace and all the demigods and the ministers, they get up at a matter of respect for him, but Lord Brahma, being his father, did not do that. And Shiva, because Lord Shiva was absorbed in meditation of Lord Vishnu. And then we see how Daksha went on blaspheming blaspheming Lord Shiva. And before doing that, he also takes the audience into his confidence. He says, all the sages, brahmanas and fire gods present, please hear me with attention, for I speak about the manners of gentle persons. I do not speak out of ignorance or envy. And the purpose, Srila Prabhupada mentions that Daksha means one who is very much perfect in his dealings. So Daksha very tactfully, with complete knowledge of what kind of blasphemy he is going to do, and ignorantly also covering his statements, he went on blaspheming Lord Shiva. And in the coming verses, he uses almost 12 adjectives to describe the blasphemy of Lord Shiva. But acharyas also derive some lessons out of it, and Srila Prabhupada also mentions these in the purport. Daksha stated Shiva as Yashagna, that means one who has spoiled the name and fame. So this can also be interpreted in the way that because Lord Shiva is so famous, that is why he has killed the fame of all other people around him. And secondly, Daksha uses the word Nirpatrapa, which also can be used in two senses. One sense is one who is stunted, and another sense is one who is a maintainer of persons who have no other shelter. And we see from the example of Lord Shiva that he has been the ideal master for all the ghostly creatures for whom there is no shelter. So then Daksha goes on to curse Lord Shiva, and finally there is cursing and counter cursing between the both the parties of Lord Shiva and Daksha. And there is a rampant war which took place. And what was the result? The result was Daksha was beheaded. And finally he got the head of a goat. But this envy of Daksha did not end here. The story continues further. Because envy is so dangerous that it's not limited to one birth or one body. It, like we have this transmigration of soul, so with the soul those impressions also get carried forward. So this episode of Daksha and Shiva happened in Swayambhu Manu's period. Later in the fourth canto itself, the later chapters of fourth canto, we see that in the Chakshusha Manuvantara, Daksha again appeared. And this time, he gave birth to 10,000 sons, Haryashvas, and 1,000 sons, Shavalashvas. And because he was a perfect administrator, he wanted all his sons to go and take proper training in the Narayan Saras. And the first set of sons, when they go there, that is when Narad Muni meets them and then he preaches to them about renunciation. And they all turn out to be renunciates. Then again, Daksha gave birth to 1,000 more children, sons, Shavalashvas. And when they go there for proper training, again Narad Muni tells them that you should follow your elder brother. So his anger was now aggravated with all these incidents. And at this point of time, Daksha curses Narad Muni also. You have made me lose my sons once, and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave towards others. You may travel all the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. And Srila Prabhupada, taking this opportunity, also glorifies a preacher. So Srila Prabhupada writes that because Daksha Prajapati was a Grihamedi who wanted to remain in household life, he thought that if Narad Muni could not remain in one place but had to travel all the world, that would be a great punishment for him. Actually, however, such a punishment is a boon for a preacher. A preacher is known as Parivrajakacharya, an acharya or teacher who always travels for the benefit of human society. And that is what Srila Prabhupada exemplified over his life. So having seen envy examples in Bhagavatam, we will have a doubt that how does envy develops in our heart? So envy is nothing which can develop overnight. That, like, sometimes we eat something heavy, next day morning we can have stomach upset. It's not like that you take a pill of envy and next day you are envious of someone. So envy is like gradually it creeps in. A very nice example which comes to my mind is of when a dam is there which collects the water, and then that water is released for power generation. So those gates which are heavily made, if there is a small tiny hole also in that gate, that small syringe like water which is coming from that hole can gradually corrode the material of that hole and it can increase a crack. And gradually we can see that whole gate can be broken open and it can cause disasters also. Similarly, one small impressions which we have carried, some sinful impressions or some kind of ill feelings towards others, these can gradually peep in into our heart and gradually it can develop this fire of envy in our heart. And that is what we could see in Duryodhana's life also. Duryodhana fueled and flamed this envy all throughout his life, and that is why it led to his destruction. And also we understand from Bhagavad Gita that all our anarthas, which are like the unwanted stuff in our heart, they emanate from the dictations of our mind because of our unfulfilled desires. And envy also works in this fashion. So until unless our mind is satisfied of all our desires, we cannot have some kind of overcoming this disease of anarthas in our heart. So Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter we also hear where Krishna mentions that bandhur atma atmanas tasya yena atma in atma chitaha anatmanastu shatrutya vartet atmeva shatruvat. So for one who has conquered the mind is best of friends, and for one who has failed to do so, his mind is the greatest of enemy. And envy also manifests in different fashions. Envy has different rupa. So envy can be in the form of deceitfulness. It can be in the form of hypocrisy. It can be in the form of fault finding, backbiting, deviousness. So in so many forms it can also appear before us. And the nature of envy is so subtle that even if we are not careful for a single fraction of a second, it can enter into our heart. So when we were in the brahmachari training so many years back, so we were all taught to learn so many shlokas, and one very nice song which we have learned by heart at that time was Manasiksha. So in that Srila Raghunath Das Goswami mentions instructions for the mind, and because we are discussing with hypocrisy and deceitfulness here, so I just recalled that verse.
Are chetah prodyat kapata kutinati bharakhara sharan mutra snatva dahasi kathamatmanapi mam sada tvam gandharva giridhari prada prema vilasat sudambhodo snatva swamapi nitaram mam cha sukhaya.
So Raghunath Das Goswami in this verse, he is trying to give some cure to this hypocrisy and deviousness which you have in your heart. O mind, why do you burn us both by bathing in the urine trickling from the ass of great deviousness and hypocrisy? So Raghunath Das Goswami here compares deviousness and hypocrisy with the ass urine which is trickling. Instead, you should delight us by eternally bathing in the glistening nectar ocean of pure love, Shri Shri Gandharva Giridhari. So because our mind is absorbed in hypocrisy, deceitfulness, that is why we are not able to absorb our consciousness in the Kathamritam of Lord Shri Krishna. In the same mood Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also presents in Gopinath Bhajan.
Gopinath manaje pagal mor namane shashana sada chetana vishay roye che ghor. Gopinath.
So Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, O Gopinath, my mind is crazy. It does not care for any authority. It is always senseless and has remained in the dark pit of worldly affairs. And we all could feel for ourselves that so many years we have spent before Krishna consciousness and also coming in Krishna consciousness. But still, we are always crazy because we have not accepted wholeheartedly this process of Krishna consciousness. And our minds are always lingering out the worldly thoughts. So we'll come to the solution part later. Now being this chapter we are reading is describing the humiliation which Duryodhana went through. So whenever there is this game of enmity being played, there is some kind of humiliation also involved. And if we accept that humiliation in a very humble spirit, then we can develop humility. And if you don't accept it in a humble spirit, then we can develop a revengeful attitude. And that is what happened with Duryodhana now. Also in the story of Dronacharya, we see that Dronacharya, when he went to beg for a cow to Drupad, and then when he was rejected, so he developed envy towards him. And gradually there is fight between Drona and Drupad later. Even the story of Amba, she was humiliated in the Kuru Sabha by Bhishma Pitama. and she went, she goes and she performs so much of austerities so that she can get a benediction so that she can kill Bhishma. So that life she couldn't do anything. The next life she takes and she appears in the Mahabharata war just before Bhishma Pitama as Shikhandi. And then we see how Pitama Bhishma was attacked by Arjuna. So this revengeful attitude which we carry when we have envy or when we are humiliated, it even degrades our birth, it degrades our consciousness also. But if we accept the same humiliation in a humble spirit, then we can see that how we can make glorious things happen in this world. The best example what it comes into mind is of Lord Ram. So when Lord Ram in one sense was humiliated by Mother Kaikeyi by giving those instructions that you have to go to forest on an exile for 14 years. So tomorrow morning with sunrise, Ram will be the coronated crown prince, and tonight he gets the jerk of his life that Dashrath Maharaj had given this boon to me and you have to fulfill this boon by going to the exile. So in Valmiki Ramayana it is explained that when Lord entered those chambers to meet Kaikeyi and Dashrath, because as a son he has some kind of that loving feeling, so that smile was there on his face when he entered there. And when he heard this whole thing and when he agreed also to obey the rule, boons which were given by Dashrath to Kaikeyi to follow them, and when he was coming out of that chamber he had the same smile. There was not a tinge of difference in his consciousness because Lord Ram accepted it with mere humility. And whatever it is the desire of my father. And that is why in we see that Lord Ram, when he went for exile and he was on a mission to kill so many demons, there is one thing which always came to mind that even Lord Ram could have retaliated because he had so much of military strength, so he could have arrested Kaikeyi and Dashrath, as we have seen happened in the Mughal Empire by Aurangzeb, that he captured his brothers and father and he took over whole the empire of Delhi. So Ram could have retaliated in that way, and he could have defeated Bharat also, but that would not have fulfilled the mission of his avatar also. That is why Lord Ram took a back step. With humility he accepted this desire of his father and he went on exile. Another example which comes into mind is of a Vaishnava saint named Lala Babu. So Lala Babu was a Bengali merchant who stayed in the bank of Hooghly in Calcutta. So one fine day he was just lying on the bank of Hooghly. So he just overheard something. So that boatman who was taking the passengers from one edge to the other, so he was calling off for people, come, come, or else you will not be able to cross this river. So it immediately struck the mind of Lala Babu that he is just talking about this river. What about Bhavsagar? This whole world is a ocean of suffering, and how will I be able to cross over? And suddenly he takes decision to go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Vaishnavas there. And Lala Babu becomes quite famous there. And it so happened that there was another merchant whose name was Lakshmi Chand. So these two people, the merchants, they made two temples, Lakshmi Chand temple and Lala Babu temple. And over the year it so happened that the servants of both the mutt, they became envious of each other and there was so much of conflicts. So at that time Lala Babu realizes that I have not perfected my life, I'm still indulging in all these kinds of disputes. So then he approaches a saint there, that I want to seek your shelter. I'm just fed up with all these things. I have to give up all this. So that saint tells him that you are not so purified now. So I can't take you, accept you. And then the sage mentions to him that the day when you go to your rival Lakshmi Chand's temple and beg for alms there, that day maybe I'll be able to accept you. That day your pride may be crushed, and then it will be a position for me to accept you. So Lala Babu contemplates over this instruction. He goes to Lakshmi Chand temple one fine day and he begs for alms there. And there's a rival Lakshmi Chand, when he hears that he has come for begging, so he immediately runs to the door and he offers whatever wealth he had. But Lala Babu says that I'm just looking for a fistful of grains to receive from you. So at that point of time, that same saint guru, he appears there and he accepts Kalala Babu as a disciple. So we have seen these examples of great Vaishnavas, that how by accepting humiliation in a humble spirit have won them glory. One more striking point which comes into my mind is of Parikshit Maharaj also, in the first canto. When Parikshit Maharaj was also cursed by Sringi to die in 7 days, that is when he took shelter of the Vaishnavas, he took shelter of Sukhdev Goswami, and he heard Srimad Bhagavatam. So there one very beautiful verse comes. Tiraskrita viprlabdha shapta kshipta hata api na asya tat pratikurvanti tat bhakta prabhopi. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. So Srila Prabhupada, Srila Parikshit Maharaj, he never retaliated for it. He just accepted the curse as the divine will of the Supreme Lord, and also as the divine will that Srimad Bhagavatam could advent, and he took shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So one lighter thing, just to, in one lecture Chaitanya Charanprabhu was mentioning that if a devotee is offended, the offender takes away the sinful reactions of the devotee. And if some non-devotee glorifies a devotee, he takes away the pious credits of that devotee. See, in both the ways, devotee's papa and punya both are nullified. And when Krishna sees that the papa and punya of the devotee are nullified, then he makes him qualified and takes him back to Godhead. So this non-envious nature of a devotee gives him all glories. Like we have seen in the conversation of Narad Muni and Vyasdev, there also in one purpose Srila Prabhupada mentions that because they have the highest aim of life, going back to Godhead, they are never envious of anyone, nor are they proud of being eligible to go back to Godhead. So if even a tinge of envy is there in our heart, it may recur back. Like we have that malaria parasite, if something is left, then it can come back. That is why we eat that immune pills. So some kind of solution I would like to present here. It may be my mental speculation also, please forgive me for that. So three kinds of solutions we can look forward. The first one is external precaution. Avoiding proactive stimulus, that means minimizing our exposure to things that cause envy. Like suppose we are envious towards someone or some place or some event which makes us envious, it's better to avoid it. Like someone who is diabetic and he is told that he should not eat sweets, so there is no fun for him to go into Madhuram kitchen or to Madhuram stall. He is digging his own ditch there, right? same case was Duryodhana also. Duryodhana was envious of opulence of Pandavas. What happened? It was Krishna's will that he had to take that service of receiving the gifts. So every plate of jewels and cash and gift which he received there, it aggravated his envy. Because he exposed himself to the situation where his envy could be aggravated. Second is internal treatment. So internal treatment is like taking some medicines. By purification of the heart only we can overcome this formidable enemy of envy. So in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the very first few shlokas, it mentioned that Nivritta tarsher upageyamana bhavarshadi shotra manobhiramat ka uttama shlo gunanuvadat uman virajit vina pashuknat. So until unless we develop this strong desire for chanting and hearing of the glories of the Supreme Lord, this envy cannot be removed. And also in a bhajan it's mentioned manushya janma paya radha krishna bhajiya janiya shuniya vishakhainu. And some kind of external medication also needed. It is like we need to serve those who envy, to whom we envy. Because when we serve someone, that envy can be vomited out. And when you glorify also someone, in that glorification that envy comes out. So envy is so deeply rooted that it has to be removed right from the root. Not even leaving behind even the slightest connection with its tertiary roots. Like a tree has primary, secondary and tertiary roots. So we have to remove it, remove the link from the tertiary roots also. Or else it can revert back. As does a mad elephant when it enters into a forest, it coils the tree and it removes, uproots it from the ground. So Bhagavad Gita also mentioned about this concept of uprooting things. So in the 15th chapter it mentioned viruda moolam. So the roots are so strong that it has to be removed asanga shastrena dridena chitva. By the weapon of detachment we have to cut through those knots, then only we can be delivered from this material world. And for your pleasure, King Kulashekar also mentions the medicine for all the material diseases. Vyamoha prashamaushadam muni mritti. Vyamoha prashamaushadam muni manovritti pravrittaushadam daitendrartikaraushadam tribhuvane sanjeevanaikaushadam bhaktyatantahitaushadam bhavabhaya pradvashainakaushadam shreya praptikaraushadam pivamana sri krishna devyaushadam. I'm sorry, I forgot the tune in which has to be recited. O mind, please drink the transcendental medicine of Sri Krishna's glories. It is the perfect medicine for curing the disease of bewilderment, for inspiring sages to engage their minds in meditation, and for tormenting the mighty daitya demons. It alone is a medicine for restoring three worlds to life and for bestowing unlimited blessings on the Supreme Lord's devotees. Indeed, it is the only medicine that can destroy one's fear of material existence and lead one to the attainment of the supreme good. And because we all are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, so we want to derive some lessons from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes also. And Lord Chaitanya had set a litmus test for all of us to check for ourselves whether we have a tinge of envy or not. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastimes always have expressed his desire to serve Vaishnavas and to glorify Vaishnavas. Just came across this pastime of Beda Hari and Beda Kirtan pastime in Jagannath Puri, when all the Vaishnavas are coming from Bengal and Lord Chaitanya is meeting them, and Pratap Rudra Maharaj is on the roof of the terrace of his palace, and Swarup Damodar and they all are explaining to them who all Vaishnavas are. So here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that Lord Chaitanya was meeting so many devotees. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then again and again embraced all the devotees, including Acharya Ratna, Vidyanidhi, Pandit Gadadhar, Gangadas, Hari Bhatt and Acharya Purandar. The Lord described their good qualities and glorified them again and again, as if he had thousands of mouths. Shavare Shammane Prabhu Hoila Ullas. After thus offering respects to each and everyone, devotee Lord Chaitanya became very jubilant. So this is a litmus test for all of us, to check whether we are envious of someone or not. When we glorify someone and we are jubilant about it, not having any ill feeling inside, that from the mouth we are glorifying a Vaishnava, but internally we are still having that poison, then we all have the right to pass on this test that we have overcome envy. And Lord Chaitanya personally, in all the pastimes, he is exhibiting this nice quality of being non-envious and testing for ourselves how we can overcome this envy. So I thank you all very much for your patient hearing. Please forgive me for anything which I have spoken above my realizations. And Granthra Srimad Bhagatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.